Welcome to the Creative Chats Podcast with Mike Brennan. Welcome, friends, to another episode of Creative Chats. It's the podcast for artist makers and content creators where we talk about creativity, the creative process, and story. If you'd like to connect with me, you can do so on my website, which is mikebrennan.me, M-E, or over on Instagram, I'm at MikeBone. So for today's episode, I wanted to share with you an interview that I did with my friend Kat Caldwell. And Kat was a guest on Creative Chats podcast back in, I think it was episode 43. And she wanted to interview me about establishing a daily creative habit. And she was sharing this with her mastermind group. And of course, Kat has her own podcast that I was on as well, Pencils and Lipstick. And in this interview, I really tried to lay out the importance of establishing a daily creative habit. And one of the things that, well, it's kind of obvious, is that nobody's really looking for a habit. What you're really excited about is the work that the habit produces. And so, although I talk a lot about establishing a daily creative habit, and I have my free private Facebook group that you're more than welcome to join, Daily Creative Habit, and if you go to dailycreativehabit.com, it'll send you right to that Facebook group so you can request to join for free. So I talk a lot about it there. I talk a lot from the stage. I talk a lot about it from this podcast. And the reason being is that the habit is the vehicle that helps you get to the work that you need to do. It's not the end all be all. Nobody's really interested in creating a habit for the habit's sake. The habit, again, is a vehicle. It's a system that you harness to be able to show up again and again and get to the place where you mine for the good work. You get to that place where you start producing good work on a consistent basis, and that's what contributes to your body of work. So I wanted to share this interview because I had spoken about a couple of things that I hadn't shared before, and I thought this context would be great for you as well. So I hope you enjoy this chat that I had with Kat Caldwell, where we're turning the tables and I'm actually being interviewed.
I wanted to bring you on to talk about habits because you came on my podcast. I think you were introduced to me. I don't remember how, through Justin, maybe.
Tank, yep.
Yeah. Anyway, you have an amazing story about how you sort of came back to your creativity. And part of that story is habits. And As I talk to my group of writers and talk to myself, habits is just something that we have to create, especially if we're creative, because there just doesn't seem to be enough time in the day. So I'm going to give you the floor to sort of tell people what your story is and we'll get into it.
Absolutely. Cool. Thanks. I appreciate it. So, I mean, before I dive into my story, I just need to address something. And that's that, like, honestly, nobody's really looking for habits. Like, they're not looking to establish some kind of habit. It's something that usually happens in the background. And it's something that doesn't seem very creative, quite honestly. So, you know, in terms of when I say, like, for me, I say, well, creating a daily creative habit, you know, establishing a daily creative habit, the habit is the vehicle that brings you someplace. It's a system. It's something that you harness so that you can achieve the things that you want to achieve, right? It's not an end unto itself. And so, I think it's important to address that because some people, again, they might be like, well, I'm not really interested in habits. Like, I don't, you know, that's something that I'm not going to think about. It's going to happen in the background. It's kind of like an operating system. So, but unless we really start to examine, like, what are the habits that we have, because we are doing something, and then how can we change some of those things where they need to be changed and introduce new things to maybe replace some of the things that are not serving us well. So for me, like I grew up very creative kid, always drawing, very much into cartoons. And matter of fact, that's in my bio of, like, you know, when I was a kid, people used to ask me what I wanted to be when I grew up. And I said, a cartoon. It wasn't an artist.
A cartoon?
Yes, a cartoon. I wanted to be a cartoon character because I loved the world that these cartoon characters lived in. It was crazy and zany and all the you know, all the things that went along with it. It was crazy. So I really loved that whole world, and that drew me into, okay, if I love these characters and I love the stories, then I want to be emulating a lot of these things. So I would trace over like comic strips and then later on comic books. Mm-hmm. And so that was all part of my world growing up, was this kind of, you know, very creative world and drawing and just getting into that, all these stories. So as time progressed, went to art school and of course had that conversation with my parents that was like, are you sure you want to go to art school? Like,
you know, get a real job, please.
yeah. That concern. I don't want you to be the quote starving artist, which I totally understand. And I get, and, you know, every parent wants to look out for their child to protect them. And, you know, but I was very stubborn and I was like, no, it's either art school or no school. And so they were like, okay, well then can you at least do something that will make a little more money than drawing some cartoons? And so I went into graphic design, cause I was also very much into music, and I figured, you know, maybe some like album covers or I don't know, some other things like that. And for any of you kids today, those were actual physical things we would hold. And for your reference, they're Spotify images. Okay. So
with a little more detail.
Exactly. So I went into graphic design and, you know, ended up graduating from art school and went right into an advertising agency that was huge. I mean, it was a corporate beast with, you know, clients like Mobile and Heineken and, you know, Pringles. I mean, like all these really major accounts, and found out very quickly that I did not like that big corporate environment. Mm-hmm. I felt like just a cog in a wheel, and like there was just so many layers to things where, you know, I'd be sitting around all day with nothing to do. Someone would drop stuff on my desk at like 5 p.m. and say, hey, we have to work through the night because we have a client meeting early morning. I'm like, where was this stuff earlier today? It was probably sitting on your desk. And you know? So I just didn't really like that whole atmosphere, and then ended up bouncing around a couple other different jobs where like some boutique agencies, smaller clients, smaller companies where I was the art department. And so very different vibe there, because then you're having to learn to be really scrappy with things, and you don't have much of a budget and resources. You really have to learn to stretch them. And wear a lot of hats. So my experiences in the creative field varied. And then ultimately I came to a place where every so often I would change jobs because I just felt either this dissatisfaction rise up in me.
Okay.
Like maybe I'd hit a ceiling or something, or there'd be something within the organization that changed, right? Certain coworkers that left, new people came in, they wanted their own creative staff, or they changed the way things were being done. And so I would move around till eventually I hit this wall where I felt like there was this divide in my life that was happening, where it was like the creative stuff on one side and relational stuff on the other side.
Okay.
And what I mean by the relational stuff is like I was very much involved with my home church, plugged in, where I was serving people, where I was helping people. And that really started to take over more of my heart, where I was like, I really want to be able to invest my life in something that I feel like is really a worthy thing. Okay. And that's not saying that, you know, design and the creative side wasn't worthy, but it just didn't hold the same level of importance, I think, in my heart. And so I started really leaning towards that way. Long story short, ended up leaving the creative field, went into full-time ministry for about 10 years.
Quite the change.
Very big change, yeah. But through that change, there came a lot of learning how to deal with risk and leaving everything you know behind. And this kind of mindset that has stuck with me ever since, which is, I'm not really sure how to do this, but I'm going to get in there and figure it out. Before that point in my life, there was always a lot of fear and a lot of just caution. And I never really wanted to step out unless I knew something was for sure. And of course, that very rarely happens. And even if that does happen, it's typically not those moments where you're really stretched as a person, where you learn and you grow.
Right.
So in that 10 years of being in full-time ministry, a lot of different things happened there. But one of the things that started to happen over time was that I had stopped doing my own personal art. I had really stopped doing anything creative. And I was doing more roles that were, you know, managing people and more administrative tasks, which are not in my gifting. And I didn't realize the effect that that was going to have on me, not having an outlet creatively and not really pouring myself into creative projects like I really needed to, because that's who I am.
Right.
And so I was trying to be more responsible and do like the thing that I thought people around me wanted me to do.
Right. The adult thing.
Exactly. But I was ignoring this thing inside of me. And so you can only do that for so long. And so eventually what happened is I actually started to suffer from depression.
Yeah.
And I got to this place where, you know, I didn't even know I was depressed at first. And then things just started to spiral out of control. And it became very obvious that I needed to leave that position and just didn't really know what was next, because I felt like I had been out of design world for about 10 years. And as you know, technology, that's a long time. And I felt like there were some things that passed me by. But then on the other side, there was a lot that I felt chewed up from in the ministry side. So I didn't feel like I was really in a place where I could be healthy to lead other people. And so ended up in a place where I was at a church doing design work, ended up moving and kind of pulled the car on the side of the road to kind of get some help. I was no longer in those positions where I was in the meetings behind the closed doors, making some high level decisions. I was now in a cubicle, what I say, kind of pushing pixels. Mm. And so it was very humbling, but I really needed that, because for that point in my journey, I really needed to get back in touch with the place inside of me that was like, I'm creating things for the joy of creating things, not because mm-hmm. somebody's told me to, not because it was on a do list, not doing work that's for other people, like all client work. My creativity is for somebody else's logo for their company or somebody else's project or whatever. I wanted things like, I feel like I have things I want to express. And so I need an avenue to be able to do that. And, you know, the graphic design work that I was doing, that wasn't the right form for that. And so ultimately all that kind of stuff. And I wasn't able to verbalize all this, you know, I can do this now looking back, but at the time I just knew, hey, I'm suffering from depression. I'm trying to get out of this. I have enough strength to maybe just show up today. And I can't think about this long term, but like, I knew that I needed to start creating again just for me. And so I ended up reading this book, The Creative License by Danny Gregory. And in it, he said a couple of things that really moved the needle for me. And one was that he said, you know, a 5 or 10 minute drawing is better than no drawing at all. Yeah. And while that sounds very simple and it sounds like almost like a platitude, I really embraced that, because I said, you know, I don't know that I have enough energy for more than 15 minutes.
Or that you even know where you're going when you're at that point, you know, because if you've been away from doing it for yourself for so long, sometimes you feel like you don't have, you know, it's back there, but like trying to just sit down and paint a portrait or write a novel, you're like, oh, I don't know how to start.
Right. And after being away for 10 years, there was a lot of frustration for me to say, man, I went to art school for crying out loud. And now I'm sitting down and I'm like, I figured out the form that this was going to take was going to be a 365 day art making journey, which if you had told me a little before that, I would have been like, no way, I can't show up consistently for a few days in a row. How am I going to do that for an entire year? And so,
You went all for 365 days.
Yeah. So what happened is I said, I'm going to set that as my goal, but I can't think about 365. That's like somebody saying to me, I have $1 billion for you. I can't imagine what that looks like. I don't know. Right? There's no context for that. But I said, okay, well, can I figure out the next 7 days? Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe that's a challenge in and of itself, showing up for 7 days. But I said, I need to figure out how to get into that headspace. And so I said, okay, I'm going to do that. And so I bought a new sketchbook, and I remember this very clearly, and I have this, I know exactly where it is, but there's a sketchbook where I open it up and it says day one, and I did an awful Starbucks coffee cup drawing. I was in Starbucks and I had my pen and I'm drawing this cup and I'm like, done. And I said, this is horrible. This is embarrassing.
How long had it been since you used your hands more than a computer?
Yeah, I mean, like 10 years, really.
Wow.
Okay. I mean, I may have had like little spurt here or there where I did something, but it was always associated with some other project, you know, yeah, work related. But really for myself, just to sit down and do something creatively, it was like 10 year gap.
Wow.
And so going like, how do I do this again? And and going like, oh, this is embarrassing. Like, I don't want anybody to see this. Like, if they knew that I went to art school and then they saw this and they'd be like, what happened? Like, it was that level of embarrassment. But the other thing that this book had said was that really learning to embrace the wonkiness and the imperfections, because that's where a lot of the character comes. And actually, that can sometimes be where your style is hiding. And so for me, a lot of times, like earlier on, I had the benchmark of photorealistic style rendering for drawing. And I struggled with that severely. It was always a frustration. I would get in there and it was not an enjoyable process, because I could never achieve the results that I wanted to achieve. And therefore, I convinced myself that I wasn't a great artist because I couldn't do the benchmark of photorealism. And so in this book, he also said, you know, if you want photorealism, take a picture. And that simple sentence was like freeing for me, because I was like, yeah, I guess that makes sense. Like, that doesn't have to be the benchmark for me.
So photorealism is really, in the artist world, like, that's the top. Like,
it looks, well, I mean, for a lot of people, you know, because then it has a lot to do with your skill of getting proportions right and getting rendering like shadow and light in such a way that something looks real. It looks like a photo, but it's actually a hand-drawn rendering.
Okay.
So, but again, for me, I latched onto that, but that wasn't really what it should have been for me. That wasn't the end goal.
Right.
And so I let the fact that I couldn't do that derail me from the whole process. I convinced myself I couldn't draw at all because I couldn't do this particular style.
Well, how many times do we convince ourselves of that? Like, I don't have Picasso style, therefore I can't do that. Or I don't write like Stephen King or or Barbara Kingsolver, so I must not be great.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's what early on for me, coming back to it, I had to expose a lot of those lies. I had to surround myself with some things that challenged my thinking. And I was at a place where I was like, look, I'm suffering from depression. I'm trying to climb out of this. I'm trying to get some health. What else do I have to lose at this point? I mean, I had lost so much. There was so much hurt and pain that I was like, I'm at the bottom. What else can I possibly lose? So I was more open to asking those questions and probing those things, because I was like, it can only go up from here.
Sure.
And so for me to then go, okay, let me get back in touch with that place inside of me to create for myself, and starting with a sketchbook, and it's maybe 5-10 minutes a day. And I said, okay, can I do 7 days out of the 365? And I said, okay, yeah, I think I can do that. And then I said, okay, well, how do I manage to show up consistently? Because as you know, if you tend to go with the flow will lead you where you don't intend to be.
Right.
And so I needed to be very intentional about showing up at certain times. And so for me, you know, I'm at a job, 9-to-5 job, and I didn't really feel like I wanted to do more creative things, even though it was for myself, when I got home, because I felt a little depleted. Right. And a lot of other people I talk to who have creative day jobs, they say, you know, I have these projects I want to do for myself, but I feel like at the end of the day, I've poured out all my creativity for somebody else.
Sure.
And so it's learning to reserve some for yourself and your own projects. But for me, it was starting to steal moments where I could, to identify in my calendar, to go, do I have a lunch hour where maybe 15 minutes I could steal that time and do something? And by lowering the bar tremendously, it takes a lot of pressure off, because typically people want to sit down and they want to crank out the masterpiece.
Right.
And so we need to strip that away, lower the bar extremely, because first off, masterpieces like that are like lightning in a bottle, right? That's not the norm. The norm is showing up, doing a lot of crappy work that leads to the great work.
Yes.
But when we think of the masterpiece stuff that we see from other people, that's like, you know, when we talk about the Instagram highlight reels, you know,
like
a highlight reel of their work. You're not seeing all the crumpled up work and the messes and the mistakes and the trials, that the journey that took them to that place at the end. You're just seeing the final product, if you will. So I said, okay, let's lower the bar 15 minutes. And if it's a pen drawing that I do of an awful cup or, you know, whatever it is, whatever that looks like, the subject matter, that's not the point. The point is me just showing up. And so looking back, I identified that one of the early things for me, a principle to really latch onto, was it wasn't so much about the work in the beginning than it was about creating the habit.
That's good. Yeah.
And that was really important for me to identify, because so many times we're leading with, I want to do such great work. I want to have that masterpiece. This is the end goal. I want to have this great thing. Let's just get there as fast as we can with as minimal friction as possible.
Right.
But the thing is, when you don't have that system to rely on to get you there, you kind of need to build the system before you start really employing it so that you get to the great work.
True.
And so that's really what, you know, I encourage everyone who's on that path of like, I need to come back to my creativity. I need to maybe reintroduce, or I'm trying to figure this out for the first time. I say, let's start with creating your habit. Identify in your calendar, where are some moments that you can steal some time? And depending upon what your creative form might be, you know, if it's writing, if it's, you know, sketching, if it's something that requires a lot of materials, it may be a little bit more difficult, but you may have to apply your creativity and how you figure that part out. But it's identifying on your calendar, where can you steal moments? So if it's 15 minutes a day in the beginning for lunch hour, or maybe it's in the morning before people get up in your household, if you live with others, you have a family, kids running around, all that kind of stuff. Maybe it's at night when everybody goes to bed and you steal some moments there. Part of that is learning your own rhythms as well.
Yeah.
You know, you need to know, like, if you're somebody who's barely awake at, you know, 8 p.m. and struggling to add another 15, 20 minutes on something at the end of the day, you may have no energy whatsoever.
You're just going to fall asleep.
Exactly. And it may actually discourage you even more. So trying to figure out, okay, where do I feel like is my optimal time for that? And then going, how can I steal these moments? The other part for me was figuring out even wasted time normally. Like if I'm in a store and I'm online and there's a really long line for something, I have 10 minutes, 15 minutes, maybe I'm waiting in line. How can I use that time for my creativity rather than just standing there getting aggravated that the line isn't moving, right?
Or scrolling Instagram.
Exactly. You know, wasting that time. Instead of wasting it, figuring out how can I redeem that time for my creativity. And so maybe it's a quick sketch. Maybe it's jotting down some ideas. Maybe it's figuring out some concepts that are going to help you when you finally do have a larger block of time to sit down, so that you're not sitting down in that moment, then trying to figure out, okay, what am I going to do now that I have this time? What am I doing? You know? So it's figuring out those little hacks and trips and tricks and in the beginning, so that again, you can set yourself up for that success. And so for me also, like, 7 days, I said, okay, I'm doing random things at first. I'm just doing more because I'm like, I need to get my hand moving again. I need to get my mind in the right place. And then after a little while, I said, okay, well, where's this going? I have a whole year that I'm attempting to do. Like, what do I want to do?
A lot of days.
Yeah. Like, and just really asking yourself, like, okay, so what is it that I want to do? What am I interested in? And allowing myself to go, okay, I'm going to do 7 days where I draw animals, like dogs, pets. What does that do for me? Does it do anything for me? Is there any interest in there? Do I want to continue with that at some
interesting.
Point?
Interesting. Okay.
Right.
So you really stripped your whole ego from.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, and was from the beginning.
It's humbling, but I think you kind of need to, because there are so many preconceived ideas and prejudices that we carry against ourselves in the process that we need the stripping away. We need to examine those things, because those things will trip us up. And for a lot of people, they trip them up their whole lives. They never get past those things because they don't take time to examine them. And so, like 7 days is a small enough time period where you can kind of get into something and explore and play. But it's not so long that if you feel like, oh, this was a bad idea, that you just, you know, jettison
350, whatever days.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
No.
Like, you don't want the theme of what it is that you're doing, the, you know, to to like wreck the whole process.
Yeah, no kidding.
So I would start doing that of just, okay, so, you know, 7 days of pets, you know, and then 14 days of faces, you know, random faces around the office or my family or whatever, you know. And again, it's just at this point, it wasn't like I'm trying to create these great works that are going to go in galleries or I'm going to sell for millions of dollars. You know, it was, I'm engaging again. Yeah. I'm boiling it down to basics of like getting my hand moving again and getting in touch with that sense of creativity and joy and play and discovery.
Yeah.
Like that's what I needed. And that's what started to help me have some life return. And then it kept building. So then I said, if 15 minutes is starting to feel like not enough time, can I steal 30 minutes? You know, maybe I have on the weekends an hour where I can put into it, but always with the mindset of like, almost like when you approach the gym, right? Like a lot of people think when they finally, they're like, I'm going back to the gym, I'm going to do this, it's going to be great. And they go so far overboard that they like wear themselves out on the first day. They're so sore. They're so depleted. And they're like, that's horrible. That's not maintainable. I'm never doing that again.
Right.
And again, they just bail on the whole process. You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, and it's funny I talk about that. I just started actually Weight Watchers again. I've done that a while back, but I'm finding that even with that, there are a lot of the same mindsets and a lot of the same thing as far as healthy habits that I'm having to employ. And now it's just in a different arena. It's not my creativity, but it's my eating habits and my exercise.
Yeah.
And so once you kind of establish a track and a habit on one side, you can actually harness a lot of that same stuff for other areas of your life, I'm finding. And that's exciting.
Yeah. And even that mindset, you can really find what it is that all those lies that you have built up on a whole different area of your life.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So you started with 7 days, then you went to 14. You're kind of like Alcoholics Anonymous, where you're like, day by day, maybe I'll quit tomorrow, but today I'll draw.
Yeah. Well, you know, and in the beginning, that's what it feels like, because you're not sure. There's so much doubt. There's so much maybe hurt and just, I don't know, an insecurity that's just shrouded, you know, everything. And you need enough time to be able to start chiseling through that stuff.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when I strung those projects together, knowing that they're smaller time bound projects, that's how I work best. And I still employ a lot of that today as far as having smaller projects, time bound, to get in, achieve a certain goal, and then get out. And I try to set myself up in such a way that I can learn something new or use a certain project for a way to explore something new that I'm interested in. And this way I can get in with that same mentality that I spoke about before, where it's like, okay, I don't know about this, but I'm going to get in there and figure it out. That's how I learn best. And, and it took me a while to figure that out too, you know, because I always thought like, okay, well, I'm not, I can tolerate school, but I wasn't the greatest. And as far as memorizing things and all that kind of stuff, like, I know for me, the things that are important for me to learn are the things that I have a ready application for. Oh. And so that's what makes something stick for me. And that's where I really learn. And it's not just like one in one ear, out the other kind of thing.
Yeah.
So stringing together, you know, 7 days, 14 days, you know, 30 days. And then I came across some other projects that other people were doing in public that were, you know, 30 days of paintings or something. And so I would join up with other groups online that were doing that. So then I started to have a little sense of community where other people are kind of rowing in the same direction as me. And maybe they don't have the same exact goals as me, but at least they're showing up, they're working, they're posting some work, there's some level of accountability.
Right.
And that was important for me early on too, because I think like I started posting on social media from my day one, even though I was embarrassed by a lot of that work and it was crappy work.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And a lot of people will tell you like, don't, you know, you have to protect your social media feed because it needs to be almost like your portfolio of work where people see the best, whatever else. And I understand that to a certain degree, and depending upon what your goals are and what your account is like and all that. But for me, I was really just more trying to invite people on my journey and have some accountability, because I knew that if I went public with this, there was no going back and saying, well, yeah, I missed a week. You know, this wasn't really going to work. People would start asking me because they started expecting every day me to post something.
And,
you know, if I posted like much later in the day, I'd even have some people say like, hey, how's it going? Like, you, or did you do something today? You know?
But also at that time, were you planning even in your head to leave your 9-to-5? Was that even really an option yet?
So not in the early days. So what happened is, right, because I said I was kind of at this place where I needed to get some health. I was trying to heal from a lot of things with depression, and just trying to get things out of being on fire, you know? So you can't, when you're in that mode, you can't really think about like, well, what's my 5-year goal? And blah, 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 you know? You're like, how do I show up right now and not like bleed on people, you know? Right. So once I got to a place where I was feeling like this gave me some hope and some direction and some interest, I started to identify some of those areas where I go, okay, I like drawing these kind of things. I don't like drawing these kind of things. I like this kind of style. I don't like that kind of style. And again, the form of having a 365-day art journey gave me the ability to experiment and play without the pressure to say, I have to put a flag in the ground and say, this is the kind of creative person that I am. And therefore, forever and ever, it will look like this, you know? So the more I explored that, you know, I got to the end of the year and I was like, wow, I actually did it. Like, I did every single day for an entire year. I showed up and I was like, I feel good about that. Like, I feel I've got some momentum going here. I feel like it's easier for me to enter into the creative process at this point because I had established that habit of showing up every day. And so once I've had the habit, it started to bring some momentum. I got to the end of the year and I said, okay, now what? And I was like, I don't think I'm done. And there's no rule here to say that I can't roll over into a whole nother year and do a whole nother year of 365 day. So that's what I planned on doing. And so I kept doing that, but every so often I would raise the bar a little bit more. I'd say, okay, maybe it's now a bigger time increment that I'm trying to establish, because 15 minutes, that was great in the beginning to get me into the rhythm and the habit. But now I'm finding that the work that I want to do actually requires a little bit more than that. Again, not overextending myself because I don't want to set myself up for failure, but I knew that I needed a little bit more. So I would start to take a little bit more time and make sure that I allotted for that. Or I would experiment with other types of mediums. In the beginning, I swore off anything digital because it was too close to graphic design for me. And it felt like work, like that kind of work, as opposed to like the creative work that's connected with my soul. So I wanted things that were very tactile. I wanted to get messy and touch things. And so I said, all right, I'm going to experiment maybe with some things that I haven't picked up since high school or college, and or some things I've never done. And so, again, always raising the bar, always looking for ways to make it challenging enough so that you stay engaged, but not so difficult that you end up sabotaging the whole thing. And I think that's the balance and the tension that you need to manage no matter what point you're at in a daily creative process.
But at that point, so you're a year into it. And in the beginning you had said like, you know, you didn't want to do it after work because it just, you were drained. Did you feel like after a year that you weren't as drained, that you were a little healthier, and that you could take more time from either the front or the back end of work? Or did you continue to do it at lunchtime?
Yeah, I found that I started to have some excitement around what I was doing. And so that excitement led me to looking at it as not a have to, but a want to. I can't wait to. So when you're in that mode and you know you've got something that you're looking forward to, you tend to reserve some of your creativity to pour towards that. Not that you're not doing a good job in your day job and doing what you need to do, but you also learn to protect a little bit more of that stuff for yourself so that you're not depleting yourself completely. And so I said, okay, I can't wait to do this. And yeah, sometimes it would be after work, I would get home and after the kids went to bed or whatever, I would dive back into some of these projects. And that excitement was there. And then what happened also was that I found the things that I was exploring and playing with fueled so many ideas and things in my personal projects that I actually carried some of that over into my professional projects that were my 9 to 5. And so it kind of invigorated some other things there. And so ultimately I kept going and I'm still going, right? So it's now like 8+ years every single day.
I'll repeat that. It's 8+ years.
Yeah. I mean, I think it'll be 9 years next April.
So this is just a form of your family life now. They're like, oh, dad has to go do his thing.
Yeah. They learned, like, you know, if we'd be going someplace and I have a sketchbook with me and they're like rolling their eyes and they're like, dad, again, really? Like, and I'm like, no, but this is what I do. But then the other thing too is like, they would always love going to the beach. And I'm like, look, I call myself the creamy Italian because I'm half Italian, half Irish, but I have the Irish skin. So I say, I'm the creamy Italian. I get out in the sun, I burn like a vampire. I'm like, I'm not going to go to the beach. But I said, if I can go to the beach with a sketchbook and I set myself up with a huge umbrella and, like, you know, mummify myself enough, you know, then, you know, then I can go to the beach with the family and I'm doing my drawing and they're having fun and they're doing their thing and we can be together. But I still figured out a way to bring my creativity to that. Yeah. So sometimes there's moments too like that where you use your creative, you use your creativity to figure out other problem solving, not just in the main subject matter of whatever it is that you have to create, you know.
True. And when you're not feeling drained of all creativity, you actually have the brain power to do that. But when is it that you left your 9 to 5 to become an artist?
Like, yeah, full-time? So that was, of course, like many things in life, not the way that I would have planned it. Okay. And so, you know, when I had come out of my, when I was in, the, actually left the ministry context, went into this, you know, other church job where I was doing graphic design, that, I think it was like 2011. And that was the low point. And the day one, right, of that year for me was back on my journey. And so at that point I was working and doing the stuff and starting to get some passion around some things and started thinking like, oh, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to say. I want to lean more into this. I want more time. And I also started to try to give more at work, but it wasn't being received in a way. And so I said, well, not in like a disrespectful way in any means, but I said, okay, I have this passion and this thing that I want to give towards. And if it's not going to go there, then it's going to go somewhere. And so it's going to go towards my own thing. And so I started building my own kind of side hustle. And I was really excited about that. And I thought to myself, okay, if I can go part-time, I can kind of ease my way out. I can have that little runway and that ramp financially so that, you know, it's not just like an immediate flip of a switch. And at that point, I was doing a lot of custom pet portraits and some other work also, you know, side design work and some other things. And that was my plan, right? To go part-time.
Plan.
And of course, there were other things that were happening within the organization and there was a building fund and there was some, you know, tight financial times. And so there was another designer on staff as well. And so I ended up being let go. And it was kind of like one of those moments where it was a little bit of a shock. But then it was also at the same time a little bit of like, hey, we're opening the door to the birdcage. Fly out.
Yeah.
And sometimes you need those moments that you wouldn't choose, that sometimes it can even be painful, but that make you step out to that next place in your journey, because otherwise you'd stay in the same place for your whole entire life and you'd never grow. You'd never become the person that you need to become or do the things that really you should be doing while you're here on this earth, you know?
Right.
So it was a, okay, we're going to go into this full time. And so, you know, that was 2015 or 16. I think it was 16. And I was like, I need to figure out how to become this business owner, this small business owner, this entrepreneur. And I made a lot of mistakes and I had a lot of preconceived ideas on how things should work versus how they were really working. And, you know, made a lot of mistakes but needed that on my journey to figure things out. As much as I had the freedom in my creative expression to go, I need to play. I need to experiment. Well, the same thing in business. I needed to play and experiment. It was a little bit more dicey because, of course, now you're talking about a livelihood, right? And supporting a family.
Yeah.
So there's that fear and that anxiety that comes along with it. But it was through stepping out, continuing to show up, continuing to be a part of online communities and figuring out how can I join some other people that are doing some work? How can I figure out who other entrepreneurs are that are creative that I can learn from? And I went through a host of different people that I would learn from every once in a while. You know, you have a mentor or somebody that you're learning from, and they take you for a certain leg of the journey. And then you find that, okay, now it's time for a switch and the baton is handed over to somebody else. And then they take you for another part of the journey. Sure. And that continues to this day where there are certain things at certain points of your journey that you need to learn and experience certain people have that next thing for you.
Sure.
And so it's being open. It's looking, it's sacrificing. I don't think we talk about that enough sometimes with our creative craft, that there is sacrifice involved and we don't like that. We want things to come easy and we want instant success. And that's just not the way it happens. And so you're going to sacrifice something. Either on one end, you're going to sacrifice your creativity because you're playing it too safe. Or you're going to sacrifice some of the other things that maybe it's, you know, a pay cut or something else, or your time, how you spend your time, who you spend your time with. That's going to be a sacrifice because you're building something in your creative craft, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. But at that point, you had gone 4 years about or a little bit more into your habit building. Was there ever a time that you're so busy with building business? Because business is so, it can be creative, but for like a creative person, business is like on the other side. I don't know about you, but I feel like it's like, oh my gosh. Sometimes it's like, why is this not working? You know, you have to build a website, market, you're learning all these things. So did you ever consider dropping the habit that you had, oh, I had done 4 years. I'm really stressed out. I need to focus on this. Or was it so ingrained that was maybe your downtime, or how did that work out?
Yeah, I think I've only had maybe a handful of times so far in this journey where I've said, maybe I'm done. Mm-hmm. And that's typically come when I start getting bored. Mm-hmm. If I haven't challenged myself enough, or if I haven't set myself up with a project that is helping me stay engaged.
Okay.
That's the times when I think, all right, maybe I'm done. Maybe this is long enough. But other than that, it's been so much a part of my routine that I look forward to it because it's really the only time that I get to be whoever I want to be and do whatever I want to do. There are plenty of other creative expressions and things that I do where I have clients and I have other people involved in the mix. And I'm trying to bring the ideas and bring my expertise, and hopefully somebody's hired me for my expertise and they trust me.
Right.
But in my daily creative time, that's just me. And if I want to completely change subject matter or completely change a style,
you can there's
do no it. Rules. I can do it.
But do you think that really set up even success in that time? Because you already know who you are, you know what your style is, and you know what helps you be you. Like, can you imagine having tried to do that while setting up your business? Do you think, like,
I don't know that I would have been aiming at the right things.
That's a good way
to
put it.
And there's a part of it that continued to flesh things out, right? So like earlier on, and even like 2 years ago, I was at a place where I had some people come around me and they say, listen, we love you. We love what you do. We just don't understand what you do because you do so many different things. Like you have a narrative problem.
Okay.
We don't know how to talk about you and what you do. And that stung at first because I was like, well, what do you mean? Like, I'm an artist and I do, you know, yeah, I do graphic design. But, you know, at the time it was like, I'm doing pet portraits and I'm doing, you know, pop culture illustrations and I'm doing, you know, yoga art and I'm doing graphic design still and I'm doing, you know, and I'm doing. And I had all these different things. I had so many things going on, so many emphases that people really didn't, again, understand how to talk about me. They didn't know how to recommend me to other people. And when I heard that, I was like, okay, that stings, but there's a reality there. I have blind spots and these people love me enough to say what they're seeing, which is not what I'm intending. And so I need to adjust that. I need to course correct that. And so while on the one hand, the creative projects and the personal time every day helped establish some things of my style and my voice, the other stuff on business stuff, it was brought into that, but there was more fluidity to how I was trying to approach this and how I was trying to set things up, because I would go whole hog and, you know, if it was setting up an online store and doing all these things, whatever, I would pour all this effort and energy into something. And then sometimes it would be crickets, or it would be like, oh, where are the people that need this or want this or blah, 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 you know, but I did, I learned that I wasn't taking the time to ask questions and find out what is it that people really want and need.
Right.
And where do my skills align with that? And it's not enough for me just to go, well, I love to do this and this is how I do it. And therefore, because of that, people are just going to come automatically and buy it and support it and rally around me. there are some things, again, that are just still for me.
True.
And that's fine. And I think that's great. I think you need that. I think you need projects that are just for you.
Yeah.
Maybe they never see the light of day. Or if they do, it's
hard for creatives to wrap their head around though at first.
Right. Well, and because it's natural, because you think if you're going to invest that much time, energy and effort and that much of yourself into something creatively, wouldn't you want it to be in front of as many people as possible?
Right.
But sometimes it's not necessarily about the actual quote end product of that, but it's really more about the journey of creating that and what it's doing to you, what it's creating in you and making you become. And that is like your character. That is something that is more of a core thing of who you are as a person that isn't necessarily something to put on display and be like, hey, look at me, I learned blah, 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 blah. You know, there are things I think that come through your other work. You know what I mean? But there are moments where you have to mine the gold in private before you bring anything to public.
That's good. Yeah. So do you, as you're now, you have a full business, you figured out your branding, and tell me your branding motto again.
Oh yeah. How I talk about what I do. I say I'm a creator and communicator telling stories on pages and stages. And then sometimes I throw in there to make you feel seen and heard.
I love it. I love it. So you really sat down and figured that out. What is it that I do so that people, you know, like, he's an artist. Okay. But what kind of artist?
Well, and that, you know, I'll be honest too, that took a lot of trial and effort and, and it was getting other people around me, because you can't do that kind of thing in a vacuum. As much as you think you know yourself and you think you know what it is that you do, how you do it, who you serve, all those kind of things, you need other people as a sounding board. And so I had many times where I was in some kind of either masterclass or some other type of environment, and they gave the exercise of sit down and write your bio, sit down, write your statement of, you know, intent or whatever. And it was wrestling. It was like, I don't know, especially in the beginning. I'm like, how do I talk to all these different people who are in all these different audiences of all the different things that I do?
Yeah.
What's the unifying factor? Like, how do I boil that down so that I don't feel like I'm concentrating too much on one and leaving somebody else out?
Right.
And then it's not enough to go, well, I'm for everybody.
Yes.
Like that's too broad and too vague. Because if you're for everybody, then you're for nobody really, because there's no appeal. So that took a lot of different iterations. And I would stick with something for a little while and I would think, yes, this is it. I'll put my flag in the ground, you know, and I felt good about it. And then you travel with it for about, you know, a couple of months, maybe 6 months, 8 months. And then you're like, something's still a little off on this.
Full encompassing, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and then you revisit it and then you tweak it and then you get some more feedback. And then there's a different, you know, maybe crowd that you're with at some point and you float it past them and you say, this is, how does this sound to you? What do you see in this? What do you hear in this? Right. So getting that feedback constantly, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. So then how did setting up this habit, well, let me first ask, as you're working for other people, do you count your work for others as part of your daily 8 going on 9 year habit? Or is that still strictly that's for you and then work for other people as well?
Yeah. Okay. I have maintained the separation.
Okay.
Because it could very easily be for me that because I do a lot of the creative work with other people, but yeah, that could count as my daily creative time. But again, it's not the same parameters that I put on it because it's not do whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
I'm so serving.
It's not just a habit. It's really like mindset and mental health as a creative for yourself that yeah, it became a habit, but that's really like you time, your soul, what you were created to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And every so often, depending upon the project, I'll set certain parameters for myself that, again, keep me engaged. Like, and that wouldn't be appropriate for client work. For instance, when the pandemic first hit, I was like, okay, I want to create some art and I don't want to ignore what's happening globally here, obviously. But I don't know how to interject this into what I'm doing. And so I was doing a lot of celebrity portraits. And so I said, okay, I'm going to do a series where it's a celebrity portrait. It has some kind of tie to COVID where it's either addressing social distancing, it's addressing hand sanitizer, wearing gloves, you know, any of that kind of stuff. And hopefully has some kind of humorous, you know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge to it.
They were very funny. Like everyone needs to follow you on Instagram because they were always like, dang, you know, a lot of like cultural people and icons and like it would always fit them so well. I loved it.
Yeah. And that's what was the challenge was for me. It was in the concept of how can I take that stuff and it's always got to be a portrait and it has to be in this style. That's my style, kind of messy. And so I said, what can I do? Now I've put all that together and I had several months where I did that. So I had all this material. And then what I typically do is if I set myself up with a project like that on the other side of it, I say, okay, I did whatever, maybe 2 months worth of work every single day. Now, what else can I do with that work? Yes, I've posted it on social media. Can I write a blog post maybe about my process and share a little bit of behind the scenes? Okay. Yeah, I can do that. What else can I do? Well, right now I'm actually putting together a book of all those and I'm going to self-publish it through Amazon, which is what I've done with some of my other stuff in the past too. So it's again, the habit then also after a while, it does allow you to produce the kind of work that you want to produce. That's quality work. And then you have a body of work. Then you go, what can I do with it? How can I leverage this in so many different ways so that I don't just squander the opportunity that I have before me, you know?
Right. It all ties in.
Yeah.
And how do you think setting up that habit has helped you in the business world in itself as you're taking on projects from other people? And so you have your own thing going on, but how do you think that helped you or do you think it helped you?
Yeah, I think it's not as like delineated of, you know, there's this box for this stuff and this box for that stuff. I don't think it's how we work as people. I think, especially as creatives, everything that we do overlaps and influences one another. And so even like when I said before that a lot of things I was doing in my passion projects that were personal would come back and inspire a lot of things I was doing in my 9-to-5 because I was being open to ideas, because I was playing, because I was experimenting. And so there are times when I'm doing something in my personal projects that maybe it's using a certain tool or a certain method. And I learn more about that. And well, now that's another skill set that I can take into a client project. Mm. And so if somebody says, hey, I want a logo that has an illustration of something and it's done in a certain style, I can say, yeah, I do that as well because I've done that. Maybe it hasn't been for other clients yet.
Your portfolio is 9 years long.
Exactly. And then all of a sudden it becomes part of client work. And then it has a proven track record of like, oh yeah, someone's actually willing to pay for this.
Yes.
It's not just something that I'm doing as a hobby on the side.
Yes.
And it's also made me think about the work that I do differently. You can't have a business with hobby habits. You know, there's a mentor of mine who says that all the time. And it's so true. You can't have a business making money off your creativity if you're going to approach it as if you would a hobby. Okay. You need to be serious about it and set up certain parameters and certain, business things. Make sure you have a website, make sure that you have a way to collect payment, make sure you have, contracts and things like that nature, that all help in taking something that's your creative work and then bringing it into a business sense. And so part of that also is learning how to keep showing up for your business. How do I keep every day showing up and learning something new, making adjustments on my website, which is never ending, by the way. launching a podcast, right? Then stepping out into other areas. It's always carrying with you that sense of how can I make it creative enough that it's engaging? It's a little bit of a challenge. I don't get bored. I can learn, throw myself into it and figure it out as I go. And then utilize that as a stepping stone and maybe a new offering for the public for my business. And then even further, now it's been in this last season and it continues to be where I'm going to pour effort is how do I help other people do that? Mm-hmm. How do I help other people with the things that I've learned? So that's not just for me and my creativity and my art, but how can I help leverage all those things so that other people can be creating things,
Right. Because you've talked, being in masterminds has helped you a lot as you set up your business, and you mentioned your podcast. Like I will link everything below. Mike has a great podcast. He has great guests now.
Yes,
she does. But so you have benefited from mine. What am I thinking? Mindset. I'm singing mindsets. What are they called again? Masterminds. Yes. Like minds. All these minds coming together. So masterminds. So what is your next step? Tell us a little bit about what you're doing.
Yeah. So I have recently launched, and I say recently, like October 2nd, I launched a new private Facebook group called Daily Creative Habit. Okay. And even if you go to dailycreativehabit.com, it will forward you right to the page to join the Facebook
group. One more website, right?
Yeah. Well, no, this one's just a URL direct. Yeah, forwards. But if you go to that Facebook group, you'll just be asked three simple questions as far as, what your intent is and why you want to join the group. And my goal right now, really where I'm focusing is in that group, showing up every day, helping the people who are in there and saying like, how can we all rise together here? I want to leverage the things I've learned in showing up every day for people who come in and they're like, yeah, I'm struggling with showing up consistently in my creativity. I'm struggling with knowing maybe what my next steps are. I'm struggling with, this feeling of being dissatisfied in my creativity, this restlessness, having a community that people can go into and encourage each other, post some work, ask some questions. And so that's really what I'm trying to help form even greater is this, right, this place where people can go and do those things,
Yeah, that is so cool. Because I really think that no matter what your creativity is, like you said in the beginning, we tend to put so much pressure on what our creativity is that if I know I was born to be a writer, then I should know how to write and should know how to do it now. And it should be great. And if it's not, then you might feel like not doing it anymore. But a lot of times as a creative person, if you just show up for a creativity to find yourself, like you said, so even if I'm writing, I just started my own challenge to learn to sketch because I've always wanted to learn. And I don't think I'm good at drawing, but I've never tried, these little things. And a friend of mine said, find something that you don't have any ego invested in it. So I think kind of your same journey of like, okay, so even if you're trying to be a writer or you are a painter or whatever, if you choose a different creativity to go after that habit, like you did, that journey is what can bring you into so many more things.
Yeah. Yeah. So, as a matter of fact, early on, and then when I say early, when I was reading that book and first starting my, maybe I was the first week into my daily habit, I took a printmaking class. And I hadn't taken printmaking since art school. And so reintroducing myself to like silk screening and, you know, that whole process of making these plates for monoprints and all that kind of stuff, that whole world, it's not something that was going to be a part of my daily process, nor do I have access to those tools on a regular basis. But what it did was it took me out of my norm.
Right.
Even though my norm I hadn't been in touch with for 10 years, right? My norm was drawing, was, you know, sketching. It put me in a creative thing that was, it said it was okay to be a beginner and a newbie. It said it was okay to learn, to experiment, to have your eyes wide open, you know, and then going, okay, well, out of that stuff, is there anything I can learn and take and now carry back with me to my regular practice? You know, so sometimes you need those little injections of like being outside the norm of what you normally do, you know?
Right, right. I think it energizes us.
Yeah.
Well, can you tell people where to find you again? I know I've said it a few times, but I've messed it up a few times too.
No, that's all good. The main place I would say is if you go to my website, which is mikebrennan.me, M-E, that's really my portal for all the other things that I do. You know, links out to my graphic design website, which is separate, links to my podcasts, you know, Creative Chats. You can find that on any streaming platform. And also, you know, my work, my illustration work, all that stuff is right there. So,
okay. And as I encourage everyone that I talk to, daily creative habits, is that it with an S?
No, single.
dailycreativehabit.com or just look for it on Facebook. I really don't think you can go wrong with setting up a creative habit. Like, even if you're not trying to be, you know, have your own creative business, I really don't think you can go wrong. Just like you said, it's a lot of journey of finding yourself. And it's a fun thing to challenge yourself on. Maybe a little more fun than Weight Watchers. We all go back to the gym. But especially in 2020, as maybe we find ourselves feeling more and more lost, mm-hmm. you know, going into a community of people trying to do the same thing and just looking for a creative habit, something to get your hands on. I highly encourage people to go do that. Check it out. MikeBrennan.me as well. Thank you so much, Mike, for coming on and chatting with us.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure.
Thanks for listening today. I'd appreciate it if you would subscribe, leave a rating and a review. It really helps this podcast be seen and heard by others.